I want to know whether that sign over there is a prophetic symbol of all the rain that's chipped out this morning. Oh, sorry, the kids. Have a fantastic time. That used to be me for years, going out with the kids. I did children's work for 20 years. It was just one of the best things I did. It was just brilliant. So it's really great to be with you. This is my first visit here, and I have to say I was really excited. And I brought my friend Stasi along with me, and so we were just really talking about the church. And it's really great to be here. I just want to who came with the umbrella with me? You did. It reminded me of when I was in South Africa, and we went out right into the hill country, and it was chucking it down with rain like it was this morning, and I was meant to be preaching in this village, and we got there and it had just rained and rained and rained for about the 2 to 3 hours that we had been travelling, and I had worn a long skirt, but I'd only got flip-flops on. So I'd got this long skirt and these flip-flops. And then my friend Matheson, who we were travelling with, said that I had to go into this village. But it was about a half an hour walk. But he was really concerned for me because we didn't have any boots. So he said, wait here a moment. So there we were in this truck. Rain was coming down very heavily. And then Matheson went off. And I remember sitting in this truck after about half an hour thinking, where's he gone? So I remember sending my husband Trevor a text going, I'm somewhere in the middle of I don't know where, but I'm okay. Because at that point I was thinking, what on earth is going on? And then there was three men that then came up, and one of them gave me a pair of shoes. They were men's shoes. They were men boots. So I remember picking up my skirt, tucking it in my top, putting on these big boots and walking down into the village. I realized then that they were his boots and he was walking with no boots just to give me boots so that I didn't get my feet dirty, which I was very pleased about, because as we walked through the village, there was a mixture of mud and a mixture of other stuff, you know, where animals weren't just contained. So I was incredibly grateful. So I didn't have to walk through that, but you did save me from the rain, so thank you very much. So I don't know how many of you can remember the TV program called The Price is Right. You know, can you remember the catchphrase? Come on down. All right, so this morning I want to talk about a man, that experience, that come on down experience. It's a man called Zac. And so often what happens is that we look at this story of Zacchaeus and we think, oh, that's just a children's story. It's just a story that gets told because actually it's a cute story about a man that got stuck up, was up a tree and Jesus called him down. But actually, this story is all about encounter. This story is all about Jesus on his way through Jericho, not meaning to stop, but actually there was an encounter to be had. And because Zacchaeus made certain choices, he got to be the man that encountered Jesus. So this morning, are you ready to encounter Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you so much that you always go out of your way to encounter with us. I thank you that you don't just pass through our lives, but Father, that you stop and that you deliberately, Lord, have an encounter with us. Father, you deliberately call on us, Father, to come on down. Father, to come and meet you at the place, Lord, where we can. So, Father, I pray as we just step through this story, Lord, that you would open our eyes to understand and to comprehend, God, how amazing this story really is. Amen. I want to say that we live in a world where the climate, constantly wants to grab our attention. We have these currents of opinion that want to sway us against the kingdom of God. We live in a culture that tells us that that has to dictate to us. We have to bend to how other people view things and how other people want to speak into our lives. And so often that passion that we have for Jesus sometimes becomes a blur. I want to say this man called Zach was a victim of his culture. He was a victim as of his past. He was a victim of the opinion of every other single person around him. And he was in that place where he was completely trapped. So if you'd like to turn with me, we're going to read from Luke 19, which recounts the story of this man called Zacchaeus. I'm going to begin at verse 1, and it said this. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come on down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said this to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that was lost. An amazing encounter that this man called Zac had. You see, Zac was a man that had allowed his job to become him, rather than to dictate to the culture in which he worked in who he was. He had allowed that tax collecting job to become who he was. A question for you. What is the thing that's in your life that is absorbing you, to stop you becoming everything that God has for you? You see, we know that in this time of history, the nation of Israel was ruled by the Roman Empire. And what they'd done was that they'd enforced a high-taxed law that had become legalized. And the agents for this were the tax collectors. Nobody liked them much. They were actually a real stigma in the society. It's probably a little bit like traffic wardens in our day. You know, nobody likes to see a traffic warden, do they? You know? And so this man, Zac, was the scourge of society, because nobody liked to see him, because what he did was that he demanded something that they didn't want to give. But you see, Jesus came to this city and he was about changing culture. He was about changing atmospheres, bringing kingdom through divine appointments. This place called Jericho, this was the place that Zac carried out his illegal business, where he carried out deceptions and lies, where he lived a life that I'm not sure that he totally wanted to live. But he got so caught up by the regime, by the oppression of what that society did to him, he'd got so absorbed in his job that it had made him become something that I don't believe he truly was. But you see, in that morning, there was an encounter to be had. Why? Because Jesus was coming, not just to the city, but he was coming to have an appointment with Zac. I just love that. And I want to say that this morning, God has an appointment with you. He has an appointment to help you push back the clutter of the things that have absorbed you. Those things that are stopping you from having an true encounter with Jesus in your life. A few verses earlier in the chapter before, we read that Jesus had come into a city. And what he'd done was that he'd stopped and he'd healed a blind man. This blind man had been begging outside of the city walls. Because of his disability, he wasn't allowed within the city and he was ostracized. So what had happened was that Jesus had come and he'd healed this blind man. This blind man was thankful. He'd been set free and he rejoiced and immediately he started to follow Jesus. And then we read this story of Zacchaeus. And this story is about healing a man that was blind, not physically, but emotionally and spiritually. This man wasn't disabled in the natural, he was disabled in his spirit life. Because Jesus always sets a precedence and then he continues to develop that. You see, and none of you here, even though you, some of you may wear glasses like me, you're not blind in the natural. But you may not be able to see the full scope of what Jesus is wanting to say into your life. See, Zac's life was incredibly lonely. He was isolated. People avoided him like the plague. They kind of crossed the other side of the road in order not to encounter him. And so poor Zac's life was completely consumed by what he did. But then Jesus entered the city. And there started to come this real hubbub in the city. Jesus is here. He's coming. And at that point, what happened was that businesses started to shut up shop. The baker's shut. The butcher's shop shut. The fishmonger closed down. People started coming out of their houses because they knew that Jesus was in town. I want to say that Jesus always disturbs the atmosphere when he enters a world. You see, just as Jesus disturbed the physical atmosphere in Jericho, when Jesus enters into your world, he disturbs it. Why? Because he doesn't want you just to settle for the status quo. The bit in your life that you've just gone, okay, that's it, I've got that ordered, I've got that settled. You know that feeling? You see, and here we have this whole town being disrupted because Jesus had come to town. The noise had begun to escalate in the streets. And people were not just saying Jesus is coming, but they were starting to praise him. And it wasn't a reserved English praise. It wasn't, oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. It's praise God! Praise God! Jesus is in the town. You see, and all this noise started to come. You see, and there was Zac sitting in his counting house. And the shindig outside was absolutely deafening. So Zac stopped what he was doing. And he started to venture outside of his house. Sarah gave a word this morning about people living in the caverns of their fear. I believe Zac was a man exactly like that. He only ventured out when he was on business. He lived within this cavern of fear, this cavern of rejection. And yet, there was this sound that he wanted to go and investigate. A few years ago, when I lived in Malden, the Queen came to town. And she was visiting the Tiptree Jam Factory, and because that has a royal seal over it, and she was also visiting the Malden Sea Salt Factory, because that has a royal seal over it. So she was there and visiting the town. And they had a luncheon at the town hall. I don't know where my invitation, it must have got lost in the post somewhere. So I then made a decision that I would, you know, go and see her. And so my friend and I decided that we would go up and we would begin to line the streets. And because my friend is a keen photographer, we had to get up there extraordinarily early so that she could get a good vantage point to photograph the Queen. And in a way, like, we got there and there weren't very many people, but gradually, like, the crowds began to build, and so much so we were kind of, you know, 5 or 8 deep on these little tiny kind of narrow paths in Malden. And you could see that actually there was nobody in the shops at the time, so in the end the shop assistant started to come out as well because nobody was going in the shops. And then we were kind of halfway down the high street. And then we heard these whispers, "The Queen's here, the Queen's here, the Queen's here." And you could feel just the excitement and the buzz, and people started to get out their flags and people kind of leaning right over the barriers, you know, just to see if they could see her. And then she arrived. And it was amazing, you know, just the anticipation that had built as the Queen, our beloved monarch, just walked through the streets of Malden. And she's an amazingly gracious woman. But as she walked, she spotted 2 little boys that were sitting, perched with their legs hanging out of an upstairs window, with their father grasping them tightly. And they were waving flags and they were shouting, "Queen! Queen!" And she spotted them, and she stopped dead in her tracks, and she looked up, and she waved at them. It was amazing. One of the little boys started to cry and said to her, "Dad, she saw me." And for me, it just resembled this story so much. You see, the Queen didn't have to stop and say hi to these 2 boys with her royal wave, but she did. And it made those boys feel like they were the best thing in the whole town. You see, Zach was after an encounter like that. He wanted to meet Jesus. He wanted to encounter him. And so what he did was that he then left his cavern of fear. He left his house and started to make tracks down into the town. But you see, he had a problem. See, not only was he ostracized and nobody really wanted to see him, and where they would normally make space for him and avoid him, this time they weren't going to let him through. He tried to push to get to the front because he knew that that was the only way that he could see Jesus. But they weren't going to let him through. And so what he did was that he made a few choices. You know, he could have let his smallness get in the way, but he didn't. And so often we let our smallness, our small thinking, get in the way of encountering to Jesus. Sometimes we feel too small, we feel too little, we feel too weak to be any earthly use to Jesus whatsoever. Sometimes our mindsets are so little, they're so narrow about what God can do, that we don't have an encounter with him. I want to say Zach's smallness did not stop him. I want to say your smallness of thinking, don't let it stop you. Begin to know that Jesus can do more than you can possibly ask or imagine. That's God's promise over what Jesus promises. But so often we get into this little small-minded thinking. You see, our issues so often have hampered our lives. Sometimes it's by who we surround ourselves with. We don't surround ourselves with the people that think big and dream large. we surround ourselves with people with small thinking, with people that complain, with people that can only see the impossible rather than the impossible. And I know that I have been so thankful for people in my life that think big, that dream impossible dreams with me. Be careful who you surround yourself with. I know that we would never have done the journey if we had surrounded ourselves with small thinking people. My husband gave up a really good job in the city, and I gave up a really good special needs teaching career. But do you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. Our life with God has taken us on a phenomenal journey. And our life is so much bigger than we could ever have thought and ever have planned it could be. Your life can too. I think what I really love about Zach, getting back to the story, is that he was a man that was determined and wasn't to be beaten. You can imagine him running as fast as his little legs could carry him down where the streets were lined, and then looking and thinking, well, I cannot get through, so I'm going to find another way to see if I can see Jesus. And he did. He climbed a tree, which actually was fairly difficult for a little man. Fairly difficult for a man that was wearing a cloak and a dress, wasn't wearing trainers and a tracksuit. But you see, he didn't think, well, actually, you know, I'm a tax collector. Actually, I'm important. It's a bit stupid of me climbing a tree. What will other people think of me? At that point, he was so desperate to have an encounter. Are you desperate? Are you desperate to do something different? Are you desperate enough to make a change? Are you desperate enough to move, to get over yourself, so that you can have an encounter with Jesus Christ? As you know, Trevor and I have the privilege of leading Empower. Empower is the CGI's ministry training school, and it's a fantastic opportunity for you to come and encounter God 2 days a week for 9 months. There are many people that look at Empower and think, I can't do it. Your thinking's too small. We had a lady on last year's course that moved her and her family, which is her husband and 3 boys, ranging from 4 to 13, from France to the UK, because God told her that she was going to come to a Bible school. At the point she moved, she didn't know which school that would be. And then she found and discovered Empower. You see, she was prepared to shift herself and her entire family in order to encounter God. And she has. And God has opened up an amazing journey that is in front of her. Where are you thinking too small? Are you thinking too small that you can't come to Empower? Are you thinking too small that you can't do certain things? This morning, shift yourself up a tree. Shift yourself to a different place so that you can encounter God. You see, there are many different ways that you could shift yourselves. Part of that starts with your own private walk with Jesus. Not just having a time where you run off your prayer list or you do your Bible notes, but actually a time where you let the Bible read you to challenge you and convict you. A time where you just sit in the presence of Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, I'm yours. What have you got to say to me today? I'm just going to love on you for these minutes, because you are the most amazing God and I love you. You can encounter God there. You can encounter God by coming to church. But I want to encourage you to prepare yourself to come to church. So often we come to church like we go to work. We get up, we get dressed, and we go. But actually, you'll encounter God in a deeper way if you prepare yourself. Even if it's to go to bed earlier on a Saturday night so you're not sleeping through the morning. Or that you spend time before you come to church. You see, because there are people that do. There's a whole team here, as Andy's already said, that physically prepare this building so that you can do church. I know what that feels like. We did it for 10 years. Our worship team used to start getting ready at 7:15 in the morning in order to do church for 10. You know, that's a cost to that. So I want to honour you guys that have come here early and set up. It's great. But actually, all of you can get involved in doing something like that. Because sometimes you have to do something in the physical in order to do something for something to happen in the spiritual. You see, Zach didn't take no for an answer. He didn't look at that situation and disqualify himself. He climbed a tree. There's three little quotes that have been happening around the CGI world for some time. And I have to say that these three quotes have helped change my thinking. The first one is, if you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. If you always do what you've always done, you always get what you've always got. So if you don't want to always have got the thing that you've always got, then you need to do something different. When was the last time that you did something for the first time? You see, my guess is that Zach probably hadn't climbed a tree in his adulthood. So it was his first time. But actually, that first time shifted him into a place where he encountered Jesus. And so often, we have to do something for the first time that we've never done before. And then this one comes from Rick and Bev. Have a go, you mug, you never know, it might work. I can't do the Australian accent, I really apologise. But you see, those three things took me, plus a whole load of ministry and a whole load of prayer, took me out of my cavern of fear. I was this person that was so fearful of what other people thought of me that it completely entrapped me. I would panic every morning about what I should wear, wondering what the other women in the church thought about me. I wouldn't even stand up in front of the church and say that the youth group was round our house. I used to shake so much. It's hard to imagine now, hey? But you see, sometimes we have to put ourselves in a position to encounter Jesus. You see, when Jesus came and looked up into that tree, it was kind of the craziest meeting ever. Jesus was on his way down the road and all of a sudden he saw this guy in the tree like the queen saw those two little boys. And at that point he looked into the tree and he thought, okay, this is the reason that I'm passing through Jericho. He could have stopped and talked to anybody, but he didn't. He stopped and talked to Zach. And his invitation has come on down. Not what are you doing up there, but come on down. Come down to meet me, because actually I've got an encounter that is going to change your life. It's going to turn you upside down and your life is never going to be the same again. But you see, Jesus didn't say that. All he said was, come down because I want to come to your house for tea. You see, I love that. Why? Because nobody went to Zach's house. Nobody went to his house for tea. But Jesus did. You see, and Jesus wants to step into the places in your life where you don't think is possible. You see, and at that point, Jesus called his name. He said, Zacchaeus, he knew who he was. There's a scripture in Isaiah 43 verse 1. It says this, and now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, he who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. Jesus knows your name. He knows where you are. Jesus knew exactly where he could encounter Zacchaeus. Jesus knows exactly where he can meet you. But actually, are you prepared to meet him? I kind of wonder what the crowd thought about Jesus' encounter with Zac. We can read a little bit within scripture. They weren't best pleased. And I want to say there will be times when you have an encounter with Jesus that will change your life and other people around you won't be best pleased, even Christians. It's hard to imagine, really. And I believe that God is calling some of you to do some outrageous things for him. Really outrageous things. But some of you are really worried about what other people think, including Christians. And I know that when I told my work that I was going to give up and go and plant a church, they thought I was crazy. But not half as crazy as some of my Christian friends. They said, you? You be a church leader? No. I can't imagine you doing that, Susie. Why are you doing that? Why would you give up a good career that God's given you? But you see, if you've had an encounter with Jesus, it enables you to step out. Because you absolutely know what God has said. You know, when God said it, he'll help you to accomplish it. You know, and when we gave up our full-time salaries and we planted a church, there was no salary. So we sold our house. And we bought a smaller one so we could live off the income. After a few years, we got a salary, and that was amazing. And then God called us to Suffolk. And we came to a church where the salary had already been given to two community workers. And so when the church invited us, they said, we would love you to come, but there's no salary. And we thought, okay, that's all right. We've done that before. We'll sell our house. So we sold our house. And this time we didn't buy another one. Now we get a salary. And out of an amazing provision of God. We have now bought a Grade 2 listed. It was a wreck. It's not anymore. And we now sit on half an acre of Suffolk land, in an amazing place. I can't tell you how expansive that feels in God. It feels totally outrageous. I want to say to you that God is no man's debtor. Absolutely. You know, and have there been tough times? Yes. Have there been times when we've gone, got no money in the bank account? Yes, we have. But God has been absolutely faithful and has never, ever let us down at all. And I believe that there are some of you that are sitting, looking at something that God has asked of you, looking at the cost. And I want to encourage you to step out, no matter what other people are thinking. I didn't mean to say that. But you see, when Jesus went to Zac's house, that was an amazing encounter that not just showed Zac that Jesus loved him, but showed him who he truly was. Because actually, Zac wasn't a mean-spirited man. And what Jesus did was spoke into who he really was. Because if you notice Zac's response immediately when he met Jesus, is actually, if there's anybody that I've done out of any money, I'm going to give them back four times. You see, sitting in the very heart of Zac was this generous, abundant spirit. But what had happened was that the culture and the oppression of the Roman Empire and what everybody else thought of him had squeezed him into somebody that he truly wasn't. And what Jesus did in that encounter was that he truly showed Zac who he truly was. We don't know what Zac did after that, but my guess is that he couldn't be a tax collector anymore. And that's what Jesus does. When we encounter him, he begins to shed off all the other rubbish that we have accumulated. What other people have spoken over us, how other people have treated us. Sometimes what our job does to us, what our environment does to us, what our culture does to us, and speaks into the very heart of us and reveals who we truly are. So this morning, I pray that this will be a church where you have many encounters, so God can truly reveal who you are individually and corporately. Because the thing about Zac was that as Jesus changed him, he then began to change his culture. Because I can't believe that when he went to those people that he had swindled, and when he gave them back four times the amount and said, there you go, that didn't change them either. Can you? So he then became an agent of kingdom. He became an agent of change. He became an agent of generosity. You see, we can't have an encounter with Jesus without it affecting our world, without affecting our culture, without transforming that generosity that has to flow through us because we've had an encounter with Jesus. So, church, let the abundance of the presence and the encounters of Jesus wash over you like that waterfall picture behind me. and then let it disperse and spread out in this community. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for that story of Zach. Father, I thank you that, Lord, he didn't stay within his cavern of fear. He didn't say, Father, trapped, God, in what had made him who he was. But, Father, he stepped out. He was prepared to position himself, God, for you. Lord, to have that an encounter. And, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just break off, Father, those things, Father, that have squeezed us into a mold of who we are not. And, Lord, that this morning that you would come and meet with us by the power of your Spirit. And, Lord, that those things would fall away. And, Lord, that we would become, God, who you have created us to be. Lord, so that we can be agents for change. To become agents of your kingdom, Father, which bring blessing, which bring generosity, that bring abundance, that bring a shift, God, to our culture. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just pour out, God, your Spirit, God, over CGC Billericay. Lord, that each one would continually have encounters with you, God, in their private time, God, and in their corporate times together. Lord, so that they would be catalysts, God, for change in this district. Lord, that they would be vessels, God, to outpour your abundant generosity into this place. In Jesus' name, amen.